I'm still trying to calculate what just happened. That's the weird thing. We think we just had a nice Christian moment, but it unravels in the next week, or a month, or 2 hours. So much activity. That's reflecting about this gathering, I was talking to Nadia about how these gatherings, we were just touching on how these gatherings came about, and I don't really know, maybe Nadia knows more than me, but there's, and I don't know whether there'll be more than this, we don't know, we're totally in the hands of God in the process, and these guys are totally in the hands of God in this process. But Mahanaim is such a significant, obscure scripture which exposes something so profound, which is in the room, which has opened up and happened for the last four times. Has it been four times? I must be ahead of myself. Maybe I was... because it's two camps. It's two camps. Correct me, my brain might fizzle out. You'll have to correct my biblical knowledge if I get this wrong, because I might be. I'm in two places at once at the minute. It's quite hard to concentrate. Is Jacob? Is one of the? He's got one of his camps, and he's working out what to do with his life. He's just dealt with Laban, and he's now going to deal with Esau. But there's another camp, the angels. And as there's something over this family, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there's something over them. They've got a familial pattern going on of angelic encounter, of engaging the heavens. And this tendency to wrap life around themselves, and God continually pulling them to wrap life around him. Two camps. And I don't think these guys and me being part of it wanted to do nice meetings. It's not a conference like a conference like you might, not that there's anything wrong with conferences, but there was a sense that this wasn't what this was about. But there was an exchange, an invitation, an invite, an encounter to be had that would change us. So it's tough, you're here, so something happens. If you don't realize that what is happening in your life is because you came here, you haven't opened your eyes enough, because this is a significant part of it. And there's the problem for us. There's an illusory line. There's a veil, which that God's mandate on these gatherings, I see now, was to tear that veil for some of you who are prepared to walk through, and that is, everything does not go on as normal. Everything does not just carry on as it has done since the days of Noah, since the days of Adam. And that might, how did he get there? We think life just goes on, that people marry, they're born, they die. You know, the world says, what's changing? You know, the slight change in human history, things slightly move, you know. Our country gets a little bit richer by 0.3% every year or whatever it is. There's very little really happens. We're trying to control, you know, there are wars happening, but, you know, we're limiting them and we're getting on top of those things. And everything goes on as normal. Like Jesus said they would do. Certainly he was part of it. He was talking about the fall of the temple in 70 AD. He says they'll just be drinking and eating as normal, not realizing what's coming. And he's talking about two activities. There's one activity where we think we're just doing Christian meetings and we're just pottering on. And life just goes on. And maybe if I've got a job, that's cool. And I just stay in that job and everything's smooth. There's a totally different activity, a totally different camp, which is so active, and it is not wrapped around you. It's his kingdom. It's where we switch from building my life to building his kingdom, to going, what's happening? What are you doing? I want to join in. Where we lose track. We lose track of our giftings, our abilities, what we think we're called to do, our ministry, our job, where that becomes so ultra secondary that we stand in here and we even say, like Paul, Paul, Apollos, we're nothing. Hold on, he's supposed to say that he's amazing in Christ. But the context, of course he would say that. He would say he's amazing in Christ. But the context is saying, we're just being apostles and teachers. It's all coming from God. And it's all coming from God to you so that God will be glorified in you. So then it goes back to Jesus, not you. Not so the church will go, we're amazing! But we are. But it'll go to Jesus. Well, the whole church will go, Jesus. And Jesus will go, Father. Oh, imagine that. Jesus and the Father honoring one another like this. Father, the kingdom was yours from the beginning. You gave it to me. I now surrender it to you. And then the Father says, I'm so pleased. My son, have it. And then Jesus turns to us and says, I'm so pleased. Have it. But we know the source. And we know what it was wrapped around. Not my great ministry, but his purposes. You see, there's a camp. And I saw it this afternoon very vividly, very experientially. More than I have on the other times. Apparently it was only two. I'm sure it was three. I must have got caught up to another one that was happening somewhere else. And I saw it. You know what? They're not waiting for me to work out what to do with my ministry. I mean, that sounds silly, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds stupid. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it, really? That's profound. It means there's a camp, there's an activity going on where I can be sucked into, where I'm caught into the eternal purposes of Father, of God the Father, of Jesus. Don't you want that?
Yes.
Don't you really want that? Don't you? Yes. Instead of a self-centered life, a kingdom. No, like, what are you doing, God? I don't want to join in with that. Whoa! And I said it was in the family. I mean, I'm thinking of like Abraham, and I'm not going to be able to find it because I've got iPad Bible, and it's useless for finding things because they're not on the left hand side. You know, highlighted in green there. It moves. It's really frustrating. But you know the story. You know the story of Abraham when he's the three men visit him. Now, that's a strange story. The three men. And it doesn't want to point, it says the two Malek, two angels, but three men, two Malek, engage with him and he gives them food and they tell him about having a child and Sarah laughs. And this is profound because this is the birth of Israel, isn't it? This is the birth of, this is part of God's purposes. It's part of his plan that an earthly seed line family is released that is understanding enough of his ways. And who was it who was saying? Someone was saying it in worship. Even in the old covenant, the new covenant is hidden, isn't it? Even in the old covenant, the very fact the Holy of Holies there is the new covenant. only they can't get at it. But it's there, it's right in front of them, but they can only go in once a year, one of them. But that, it's given to them. And that's about him. But you know what? He's invited to something else. Because as they're going, the Lord, it says the Lord, is, and it's curious language. Is it the Lord? Is it an angel? You know, theologians discuss this for a long time. Best to go and ask. And, yeah, you know, that will be the end of so much theology. I'm trying to say that more. I have so much pride woven into my life, and I'm trying to walk it out and let it go. And it's a constant, the constant joy is to increase the release of that pride, to say, I don't know. They won't tell me that one. They won't tell me. I ask, and I'm not ready for it. What's your opinion, Paul? You know, my opinion is useless. What good is my opinion? You might as well throw a leaf into the wind. What good is that? Because when you see, you know. Until I've seen, what's the point? I'll tell you what I know. So, thank you, Lord. Something's happening in the room even now. Can you not feel it? Can you see that? It messes you up. It calls you out of normal existence into something else, which might look exactly the same on the outside. Everyone else will think you're joining in with them in the marrying, eating, drinking, going on as normal, but you're sucked into something else, which leads you into profound moments at the bus stop, but also when you get up, you start praying for Boris Yeltsin. Or you suddenly find yourself in the Kremlin. And we balk at talking about meeting the saints of old. Whoa, man, you need to do some reading. You need to do some reading of the saints, the Catholic saints. There was no other church Catholic saints before. I can't even remember the date now. That's gone out of my head from all my studies. The lives they lived, whoa, there's so much. There's so much for us to enter into. Anyway, Paul, keep on track. Abraham. And the Lord says, basically, shall I tell him what we will do? I mean, you could meditate on that for a month, at least. This is a profound moment. Father's discussing amongst his counsel, shall we tell him? I mean, I'd be, it something reminds me of Donkey in Shrek. Yes, please, pick me, tell me. But Abraham's got no idea. He's like, what are you talking about? Shall we tell him what's going to happen? And suddenly, he's sucked into something that is not of him. And not just wrapped around his life, is to do with the walking out of God's purposes with a whole city of people, Sodom and Gomorrah, and their journey since that city started. The Father's walking through with that people and their choices and all his interactions with them. Shall we let Abraham in on what is going to happen? Do you want to be let in? Because of course it's costly, but if you really want to be let in, you're not really that bothered about the cost. So if you're having to count the cost for too long, you're not yet ready, are you? Because it's like, of course it might mean that you'll be on a tube and you have to shout out Jesus for 30 seconds solid at the top of your voice. But that's just a random thought I had. I'm just saying it would mean you would have to walk out of fear of man. because you'd be so absorbed with what is happening in the heavens. It's not that you're, it's like if that is so real to you that you will step into the fear of man stuff and walk through it because you're so absorbed with what is going on. And people will think you're crazy. Of course, but you wouldn't, you won't be too bothered about that if you've decided to join the camp. Because you'll be expecting, of course, because everyone else, not everyone, but you know, the world has its head stuck in the sand thinking people are marrying, eating, drinking, everything's going on as normal. That's the illusion that Satan has painted, that we have embraced as a people, as humanity. We have made that choice to go into self-deception that there is no spirit realm affecting us right now when it is so active and it's more than just demons. It's whole activities, discussions, debates, arguments, counter-arguments about what should happen and the purposes of God being worked out. So in every decision, eventually the whole of the council of heaven goes, "You're perfect in all your ways, God. That was so just. You were so right. You held out mercy for so long. You're so good. And even in your judgment, you're merciful." Wow! Utter destruction is deserved, but you're so merciful. You're so good. You're so generous. Wow. No one can find energy to live your life, but you give them everything. You give them grace, all the energy they need. Wow. He's perfect in all his ways. Do you want to join in on that? Because then, again, then you'll have to leave your theology at the door. You have to, because the problem is our knowledge is... I don't know how to say this without... Of course you can say there's exceptions, but limited time... Our knowledge is our pride, isn't it? And then we build our life around it. So it's really shocking when something happens that doesn't fit our theology. Which shows that we're on shaky foundations. And so you discover things about God that you didn't realize. He's so different to what you think, and yet you thought you knew it because you've read something like In Understanding Be Men and Basic Theology. Books like that, and you know this is what God, and this is whoa. I mean, would you expect God to tell Abraham? No, who's sacrifices Isaac? My brain, Abraham. Something on that. There's something that this starting to work out what it is. There's what was I saying? Wow. God tells him to kill his son. Now, now I can ascend to the judgment seat and judge God. "By your own words, let you be judged, God. You said, do not murder. What is this about?" Yet, in Hebrews it's recorded that Abraham, and I presume it's recorded in Hebrews because Abraham must have passed it on, and they passed it on, and they passed it on. He thought God, because God was going to bring all his descendants through Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. So this was just a necessary test. Wow, what the psychologists would think of the trauma. Putting someone through, I don't know. Ooh, dear me. But there's the fear of the Lord for you. The fear of the Lord will always insist that you can't have it until you insist you can. Because I know you, God. No, I don't know whether I can. No, the fear of the Lord. No. The fear of the Lord will test you. The fear of the Lord always tests. We have to be tested. If you run away from the test, you're deciding that you want to be with those who eat, drink, get married, all life goes on as it is. You have to go through the squeezing, the narrow place, the test. Whoa. Where it looks like, oh, this is just too big to swallow. Until eventually you go, no, God, you're not like that. You're a good God. Yeah. This is not meant to be. And eventually the fear of the Lord says, the angel of the fear of the Lord says, you are right. Don't kill your son. God is good. Wow. But that doesn't fit my theology. That's just, it's not comfortable. It's not nice. God is not as we think he is. He's so good and his ways are beyond us. And what I'm saying is, and I'm shaking you with that thought to show you, that is just one where if you choose to walk into this, whoa, what good, it will not help you to have political views if you step into this camp. You cannot hold, can I say this? Might be shot if someone listens to this on the internet. You cannot hold entrenched political views and step into that camp. How are you going to go to Jeremy Corbyn's house in the spirit and pray for him if you have entrenched opinions? And I know this goes on the interweb, but I found myself in politicians' houses praying in the spirit. So much so I could describe the wallpaper to you. And I don't necessarily agree with everything, but then I'm realizing that my opinion means nothing. Because there's so much more going on in the other camp that is causing these other things that we see to happen in front of our eyes. And when you get caught up here, wow, there's so much happening. It's so much happening. But it's like, do you want to be sucked up into that? Do you want to be standing there, starting to discover what is happening until eventually you're invited to be part of stuff? Do you want to do that? Do you want to go there? Do you want to be part of Mahanaim all the time? Yes. You see, it does mean that we have to deal with our own camp, with our own stuff. And that's. I know this isn't an easy, I'm speaking, not easy stuff, is it? Well, I don't know, maybe you think of it. But like, it's time for us to go into maturity. And I don't have enough compassion in my being for it to explode through my body to say it with enough love. If only Jesus was here to say it, or Francis of Assisi, or someone could say it. But like, we have to let go of our pain. We have to let go. We have to move on through our stuff and not let it I'd be our identity. And I mean that with as much love that I can muster, which is so little compared to his. But like, he's done everything he needs to do to open the prison door for us. So that means it's me holding on to my pain. And that's the journey, a walk through of letting go of it. And we have to go on it. Otherwise, like Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, I couldn't tell you of these great things. I couldn't tell you of everything I experience and what goes on, because you were still of the flesh, because you were still caught up in jealousy and competition, because you're still living out of your pain, your flesh. Because that's what flesh is. Have you realized that yet? Flesh is your body, it's your physicality dealing with pain. And when we take offense, we lock pain in. We hold it, and we build our life around it to stop that pain happening again. Jesus never did that. He felt the pain and let it go through him. He didn't resist it. He didn't fight it. He just went, "Oh, Father." And we freeze it. We offend. And we hold on to it. So Jesus heals. He takes us back through our offenses, unwinding them. So we activate the righteousness that he's put within us. It's just like it bursts out from the outside, pushing through all our offenses. Let go. And I'm not diminishing the horrific stuff that we go through. Everyone experiences pain, don't they? Everyone. You cannot compare people's pain. Somebody's pain might be horrific and you wouldn't know it from looking at them on the outside. It's how we respond with him and letting, "Lord, I won't take offense at you or at other people. I won't hold on. I won't fight. I won't get resistantly angry and bitter. I let go." Oh. That Corrie ten Boom story, I just have to keep saying it. Like when that prison guard comes up to her after she's preached about forgiveness in the Netherlands, this is post-World War II, a long time, and this guy comes up to her and says, "That's fantastic stories. Great to hear how you've moved on, Corrie. I was one of the prison guards. I was one of the German prison guards." And he holds out his hand and says, "Will you forgive me?" And all the offense hits her. How can he ask for forgiveness in a matter of a second, holding out a hand? How dare he do that? And all this offense comes up that she's horrified about. Like, whoa! And somehow, miraculously, Jesus meets her in the moment. She knows she can go, "Okay, I let go," which is not easy. Forgiveness is, "I will not be your judge." Because that makes me God. That doesn't mean you don't get judgments. It's not my, "I will not be your judge." And she holds his hand and says, "I forgive you." Wow. That's just extraordinary. So we have to deal with our camp together, this camp. And you will keep getting sucked back to your camp with your stuff to deal with it. So then you're free to go back into that camp. That will keep happening. And the accuser will keep coming. Because a lot of the activity in the heavenly camp will be about accusation and what you do about it. So you can't deal with accusations coming against nations if you haven't dealt with that accusation against you in your life. So if you've dealt with it in your life, then you can be a priest. Because this is what, this is one of the secrets of Father. He's after a kingdom of priests and kings. And we don't get there by just going, ding, magic wand. We're going to have to learn his ways. And get involved in that camp. You know, I had this experience. You've probably heard it because you've probably come to one of these before, and I only have 5 stories. But I was... it's time to get some... The ones I'm getting in a minute, I'm not allowed to say. So I experience a river. I'm experiencing Eden. I discover Eden is a real place. That hurt. So I'm not sure I really believe that. But then I experienced it was a real place. And it was hidden. It had been hidden. And it was guarded, dimensionally guarded. And I found a way in. It was Jesus. But he let me in. And I had to walk through these swords, which were scary. But anyway, I got in. And as part of that, I met a river. And this river, there was a person on the other side of the river, the bank of the river. And the river was fast flowing. And he had his hand in the river. I know this is going to sound a bit wild, the whole story, but it's the point I'm after. He's got his hand in the river and he says to me, "It's good, this." And I said, "What are you doing? What is that?" He says, "This river." And he looked at me, and when he said it, whoa, my whole being shook. Because I knew this guy was an old guy. He'd been around a long time. In fact, I even think I knew his name. Just knew it, which is what it's like there. And he said to me, "This river flows from the heart of God, and it goes into all the world. It's God's heart for the whole world. And if you put your hand in it, you can feel it." And I said, because I'm learning to be more childlike and cautious like a child, but not brash, that is. I said, can I do that? He said, "Yes." So I sat by the river. This was more real. This is as real to me as I'm experiencing you now, because I was lost in this experience, this visionary encounter. And I put my hand into this water. And as soon as I touched my finger, the tip of my finger in it, my head explodes and my heart explodes. And I see probably about, I must have seen thousands, but I caught about 30 faces or people or activities that people were doing in a fraction of a second. But I must have touched thousands. But I just caught about 30, I reckon. And I could remember about 5 specific people. There was a guy in China. And I felt some pain as he was experiencing. And there was other people. Very specific instances and what they were feeling and what God was feeling about that. All in a fraction of a second. And it made my heart go poof. And it was like, whoa! It was too much. You know, like when you hear a trauma someone is going through and you really take it on and it hurts? It was like that 30 times. I couldn't handle it because I'm not the most compassionate person. And this was stretching. This absolutely blew my heart. So I pulled my hand up, whoa! And I'm like, oh! And I look at that. First thing I go is I look at the guy who's smiling at me and I say, "How do you keep your hand in that?" He said, "Practice." What? But I'm left thinking, that's God's heart for the whole world. If I go into this camp, I go more and more into feeling what he feels all the time. For everything around me, more and more I enter that. I become one with him in outworking. I experience what he experiences. Whoa. Do you want that?
Yes.
Because it does, it does something. It puts my own pain in perspective. I'm less sucked back because I'm thinking, what is this? I'm more in touch with what is really, really happening and what is really going on. And the more my heart is worked on, and this is a journey of the heart, you experience this supernatural because you soften your heart. And if you don't soften your heart and experiencing the supernatural, you end up in occult. You end up in using supernatural power for your own ends. And that can look like Christian stuff. So you soften your heart so that you can be with him, so that you can join in with what he's doing and what life is really all about. That's Mahanaim. Wow. That will bust in anywhere. That will bust in when you're on the bus going to work and you'll suddenly be weeping for Angela Merkel. And you don't know her, but suddenly you do. Or you'll be weeping for someone you have no idea about in Kyrgyzstan. And I'm not talking about a ministry of intercession. I'm talking about being sucked into his purposes, which will break out and invade your life as much as you want to let it. You become God's friend. Wow. Friend of God. Is that possible? Yeah. It's really possible to become a friend. Wow. If it's in the room, guys. This might take 2 years to land in your being, but it's here.
Yes. Yes.
It might take 10 years. Yes. But if, you know, it's one of those dangerous moments where if you go, yeah, a timer's set in motion, and it starts to happen. And you can slow it down, but it's coming. So you haven't come to a conference just to enjoy. I feel like my words are getting worse. The more it's just rubbish. My communication skills have just got rubbish. Now that's the bride. That's beautiful. It's not our radiant garments that are beautiful. I mean, it is, but it's not. That radiant garment is the deeds of the saints.
Yeah.
It's our heart flow with him. That's, my goodness, that's what even the heavenly council go, whoa, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Because he's redeemed all these people, and look at them! Wow. Shamba. You will become a wrecking ball to the enemy. But not because you've got this super powerful ministry. I'm a wrecking ball to the ministry, to the enemy. It'll just break out all around you. And it'll be painful. But you won't be bothered about the pain, will you? Because you're caught up here. Not. You will be bothered about the pain, but you'll keep coming back here because you'll be made perfect through suffering like he was. If he was made perfect through suffering, that is, he entered into maturity. Isn't that amazing? That he walked through the process of maturity. Oh my goodness, he entered flesh and walked through maturity, which means suffering means pain, means invite to hold on to pain. That's suffering. Invite to hold on to pain. He experienced pain. No, Father, no, Father, Father, trust you, Father, no. Walked through it all, saying no to it all, saying, no, I won't hold on to that, let it go. No, no. Now we have to walk through the same way. No, 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 not that we have to. It's our privilege to walk through the same way so we too can have his worthiness, because he's gone ahead of us and we're just following his footsteps, can have his worthiness within us to be priests and kings. Oh, wow. I don't know about you, but I've probably only got another 30, 40, 50 years in this flesh bag. And unless something super miraculous happens in my DNA, unless I find those guys that Sadhu Sundar Singh said lived in the mountains, less. And it, but wow, how much can you get to know God in this body? I mean, I can say a theoretical fully, but I want to go there. It messes with things. You end up more in that camp than this, and I found it increasingly that heaven does invade earth, and often not in ways that you're just not planning it. You know, like people have jewels appear. I mean, I had a jewel appear on my carpet, but it wasn't in my hand, so it could have been Catherine's fault. So, you know, I can't claim that one was mine. And of course, it's all about claiming it was mine. It is for me, anyway. But I had a pomegranate appear out of heaven. So you yank it out, but it came out of heaven. We're meant to live here and bring the abundance of that realm to this realm, which isn't like, you know, it's not sugary whoopie-doo-dah, but it is bringing the kingdom into this realm. So creation goes, oh, woo, thank you.
Yeah.
That's you. How about stopping being a Christian? Can I be that naughty? Stop being a Christian.
Yeah.
Be a priest and a king in Jesus. That's what you were called to. Ooh. And there is. So if you're sitting there now thinking, that's not for me, we could go back to this camp and start to talk about how you deal with that stuff again. But the bottom line is, there's an accuser who's constantly speaking in your ear. And it always boils down to that. Whatever healing process you use, it boils down to this. There's a voice in your ear, and you're choosing to listen to it because it works with your pain. And it says, yeah, that's not for you. No, that's okay for other people. You know, comparisons, it's a really convenient cover for your pain that's going on underneath. But we ain't got time to unpack that, have we? But if you go the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you detonate all that stuff? Would you keep going? He will. He will. And the thing is, when he starts to do it, will you run away from it or face it? Yeah, because he will do it. And what will happen? The more you do it, then the people around you will get it quicker than you. Because you'll pave a way. You'll create, that's the privilege of being a priest. You go ahead. You're the priest at the front. You go ahead and you create a wake, which makes it easier for other people to follow. So of course that's another chance to get offended. Because I earned that, and you're getting it quick. Now, you know, I'm now putting me at the center again. There's so much chance for offense. There is so much. And Jesus walked through the lot, went, shut up, Satan. Have it, guys. Have it. It's all yours. He walked through it and handed it all to us. Wow. Wow, that's incredible.
Wow.
He didn't hold on to it for himself. That's mine. They can't have it. I want many sons, many daughters. Have it. Wow. Oh. Shabba ding dong. It's this. So something is happening in the room now. This is a rubbish preach. It always is. I have stopped preaching because I find that I am, you know, the ability to boil it down to 7 points. I'm rubbish at that. Absolutely rubbish. I can't do that anymore. I so want you to have, or at least probably, that's 70% of me. I'm working on the other 30%. Wants wants me for you just to have it. Because if you've got 3 points that you're having to remind yourself to do, you haven't got it. If you don't have to remind yourself how to ride a bike, once you've worked out how to ride a bike, you just do it. The muscle memory tells you. It's more like that. It's more like that. If you've got it, you've got it. So we keep talking about it until you've got it. And the person who keeps talking about it has to have it. Or be after getting it. And then maybe they get the breakthrough halfway through speaking. I've got it! I've seen it! And then maybe you'll pick it up quicker. And you'll pick it up quicker. And then I get offended. No, you can't do that. You're doing it better than I did it. And I let go of that. So I grow deeper. I get better at then passing it on. So the more I let go of the offense, the more I can pass it on to more and more people. And the less and less I'm known, because the other people are known more, so there's more chance for offense. So let that go. Actually, it's just as bad to be known, because then you get all the attack, you know, from other people. So there's more chance for offense. And the more you lay it, that's just awesome, because it's outworking the circumcision of your flesh away from your being. So you're not under it anymore. So it can, as much as it likes, you go, shut up, enemy. Yeah. Actually, don't even bother with that. Yeah. You stare at him and perceive something even deeper that he can't even see what is going on, and you can pronounce it. Is this making any sense?
Yeah.
You have to say that because you're in a meeting, you see. So I'm trying. I'm actually not listening to the yes. I'm perceiving where people are at. So it's yes to Mahanaim, isn't it? It's. You're simply saying, I want to see what you're doing, God. Show me. I want to be sucked up into that. Thank you for giving me a destiny. I yield my destiny to you. That's huge. I'm slapping something in the face saying that. I've been given a destiny. It's not mine. I yield.
Yes, Lord.
So that it flows with him. Yes. And it's all about him. Which is so much more glorious and true. Which means those who are martyred young, they've not been robbed. They've not been robbed. They yielded their destiny to him. Whoa. That helped me. You guys. So that's something that's on this house, this family. You've walked into it. I don't know why you've trekked all this way to come to a small village hall. But by stepping on the soil, it engages something. The angelic see it. I've watched them. I've watched them watch you. They sift your motives. Did you know that? Yeah. They don't criticize. They look at you. They can see what's going on. And they work out how to work with you. They listen to what the Father is saying to work with you, having seen where you're at. You know what? They don't write you off. They just work with where you're at and love you. And that's Jesus, isn't it? They're just following him. And that's gone on in the room. So you don't have to hide your brokenness and pretend it's not there. That's counterproductive. You open it up. Go, gosh, Lord, I'm broken here. Help. And then you can help. Oh, Jesus. thanks, guys. I mean, some other guys. I know it's confusing. Okay. Okay. There's something prepared for people. If you want it, if you want to come and get this, it's a what I see. I'm well aware that 15 years ago, if I heard myself speaking now, 15 years ago, I'd think I was completely nutty. I just had to say that. It made me feel better. I'm sorry. It's like golden spikes. They're about 3 inches long. If you want, you can come and get one and it'll pierce your heart. Yeah, in a minute. It will pierce your heart. And it will stay there for as long as you want it to stay there. And it will It will provoke. It will irritate. It will love, it will agitate, it will take you deeper, it will expose sin in a beautiful way so that you go, oh, that's why I'm doing that. Oh. They've prepared some for the meeting. So if you want to come and get one, this will expose sin in your heart to you so that you see stuff while you're doing it in a beautifully clear way. And it will pierce your heart and remain there so that you feel a tug for a season. It's going to remain for a season. You'll feel a tug when it's time to do something. You know, it's like a, but this will help sort your heart out in an accelerated way. It will bring, this is what I'm hearing, it will bring a supernatural rhythm to your heart. It will realign your heart. It's like a pacemaker. It will bring your rhythm back into line with the basics of his heart so that you can beat with his heart more. Now that is wild, but I can see them. And so if I can see it, that doesn't mean you have to see it. It's not about whether you think I'm nutty or not. It's whether you engage with faith and say, I want that. Because I'm not the conduit of reality. I'm just saying what I'm seeing the best I can. So if there really is something here, then you can engage with faith and come and get it, and it will work in your life. Who'd like to come and get it? Come up the front if you want to get it. And I think... I think they've prepared enough. I believe this will give you dreams as well. You will dream heart dreams that tell you, expose in a story what you're addicted to, idolizing, what is holding on to your life. It will interpret dreams for you, heart dreams, and tell you where it's coming from in your heart. Put your hand on your heart. Which heart? Oh, I'm sorry. You're genuine. I'll go for this cardiac thing here. That's what I mean. That I get what you're saying. But like, this does touch the deep, true inner heart of you, which is much bigger than the physical heart. But this heart has four chambers, like your inner heart. And we want those chambers pierced. It's like, you know, the piercing of the ear that the Jews used to do. I choose to be a servant. Okay. So, you just ask, Holy Spirit, I ask that I will be pierced in my heart. You said to Mary that her heart would be pierced too. I want my heart pierced, so that you outwork a right heart into me. Just pray your own words now for that. Okay, here they come. Keep praying if you want to pray, but they're coming in right now. I just ask for the piercing of our hearts now. Thank you for that piercing in my heart. And I ask for it for us here. But now this, and a step out of the fluffy doubt of a sort of Christian imagery thing and into the reality of you having our heart now. Pierce our hearts. Pierce our hearts. Pierce our hearts. Pierce our hearts. Whoa. I want to know what my heart is thinking, not just my consciousness, but my heart. Expose the thoughts and intents of my heart. Whoa. That I can walk the low road and be free. Whoa. Whoa. Yes! Lord, when I'm about to speak about someone else's character faults, would it instantly prick my heart so I go low in that area myself first? I turn away from critique into, Lord, remove my pride. I yield to you. I soften my heart. My judgment, my inconsistencies, my addictions. Whoa. Whoa. I outwork us being worthy priests. Ooh. Whoa. Ooh. Whoa. Lord, I ask that this would go back to our childhood, all the way back through the years. Anybody that we still have offense towards will be reminded that we can step out of the judgment seat over them. That we can yield their lives to you and not hold on to them ourselves for judgment. Go back through the years. Anything that's holding an offense still, pull it out. Deal with it. And Lord, even where I compare, where we compare and diminish ourselves and despise who you've made us, we use that to that pain to hide behind and give us a false identity. I want to step out of that and say, would you pierce our hearts so we settle on who we are, that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. Whoa. And beautiful in your eyes. Lord, would you move us from blame and shame to realizing it's my offense. I let go. Soft hearts, soft hearts, soft hearts, soft heart, soft heart, soft heart, soft heart. Oh, Lord, even now I want to step off the pedestal of pride that would not want to go and ask forgiveness of people or not want to admit I was wrong. Lord, I want to be able to admit I was wrong so quickly. So quickly. So quickly. Would you? Oh. Step off the arrogant throne. Why would you pierce me when I'm declaring I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. You took all this to the cross. You broke its power. You imparted your DNA. And that it's your grace that's going to work through me to push it into my whole being. I say yes. I step out of any self-righteousness that I can work this out myself, any religion that I can work this out myself, that I can create lists and I can control it, and make it work. I yield. I cannot make it work. I yield to you. You're the only one who can make this work. I'm utterly, utterly needing you. And along with this, Lord, fill me with your love. Here it comes. Here comes a wind of love now. You are loved. No need to demand love. No need to suck it out of situations. You have love. You're loved. You're loved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's so good. You say your own prayer of thanks to God that seals what you've done. It's coming from your being. May this invade every area of our lives, Lord. May this invade TV, watching the news, Facebook, every area of our lives, all our relationships, our children. Increase humility towards our children. I think it's done. Maybe you want to hug someone, bless them, be soft with someone.